Tasha Bailey, welcome back.
Hi.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
But we were talking about kind of how, we were really talking about how reaction of stress to your body and the kind of the situations that you put yourself in, but really about how, you know, appeasing people in a way that, you know, putting people's feelings ahead of your own feelings and stuff. So I was 19 when I started credit card processing. I couldn't walk well. Like I could walk, but my left knee was still so injured.
Gotcha.
Like stairs were troublesome. Like, and we used to live, or excuse me, we used to work. Our office was over there.
You kind of live at work, it seems.
Kind of, yeah. It's you had a turn in the steps and just going up and down, and to like get from our side, the sales side, to the kitchen, you had to go down and up a like a V of steps, something like four. You know, I'm a long guy. I can take two steps and get up, but my knees just weren't healing in the right way. And I was very self-conscious of that and my, you know, not ability to exercise. I didn't have a lot of money. When you start this business, you make no money. You have to build your residuals. Like, we get paid pennies at a time. And at the beginning, pennies are just pennies. And then eventually, it's a lot of pennies. Mm-hmm. Eventually, it's way more pennies. But at the beginning, it's just pennies. You make nothing. You make no money. As you shouldn't. You shouldn't give away a bunch of your business to make more up front if you believe in yourself in the long run. And that was my thought process. So I'll take a really low base and the maximum growth opportunity because I believe in myself. So I was going to these networking groups where your average age is 55, you know. I was going to these, you know, specialty groups and business associations and professional business services, people, everyone selling to business and stuff, trying to gain referral partners and trusted people and build a relationship. I was 19. You know, I knew nothing. You know, I was just athletic. I just knew how to connect with people. I didn't expect a lot from people. But how, you know, what people thought of me, yeah, I mean, it weighed with me. You know, I would go to these groups and I could tell when people didn't take me seriously. And I was like, man, you know, I feel a burn. And then eventually, you know, we just get to the point where, you know, especially when you go a year and nobody sees you below your belly button, you know, they only see what they see on Zoom.
Yes.
It's easy to remember that you can be yourself. Me and Tristan were just talking about that earlier about, you know, dyeing our hair or piercing our ears. Is like, there's a lot of places in the world where you don't have the freedom to kind of express yourself the way that you want.
Definitely.
And a lot of time the reflection other people have on you weighs with you for more than you want. And we're talking about kind of the way that weighs on your health, but I'm in a better place now. So I think that it's a age thing. It's a, your mind has to really develop and find a comfort space that you feel, you know, you trust to be your food plot, you know, you trust to help you grow. And then you start, you it's not as important.
Yeah.
What other people think.
Like, it comes with experience too, because for the longest time, like I've always been a little weird, sounds so harsh, but it probably aligns. And just, you know, kind of doing my own thing and expressive in very different ways. And, you know, it was hair color for a bit and then that kind of, you know, fell off. But I've always been into like tattooing and things like that. And for the longest time, like I didn't do anything that could be visible because I'm like, okay, like, you know, I was doing some corporate wellness stuff once pretty soon after I went out on my own. And I'm like, gosh, I don't want to like speak in front of these folks and not be taken seriously because, you know, they see like, you know, I have a tattoo or something like
sure.
that. And then it was about, I think it was about like 3 years ago now. I felt like I got to this certain point and I was like, I don't really care. Like, you know, what I do and how I do it, it speaks for itself. Of course, in certain situations, I'll wear longer sleeves, but I took the step and actually got things that are visible. Now it's just, you know, it's like for me, but it's just like a visible little inner arm sleeve type thing that's just like motivational and inspirational things for me to remember. And what's interesting is that most of the time people don't even notice it because it's on the inside, you know, but it was just it was like my way of just saying like, kind of like I'm burning the boats. Like this is just who I am. And this is either you'll take it or you won't because I can still bring you that knowledge, that experience. I can still help you. Mm-hmm. And I have had professional talks. I have spoken with children, you know, did speaking events and nothing has even been mentioned. Mm-hmm. And
do you think that indifference has helped you in your business? You think that air of indifference, because that's an impulse factor for people, is that I don't really care. You know, I do care. I want you to be my client. I want to onboard you as a client. I want you to, you know, do business with me. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, that's okay too.
Exactly.
And we can still be friends and we can still be professionals and we can still go on about our life because I, you know, I have a strong pipeline. I believe in my business. My business doesn't hinge on you doing business with
exactly.
me.
Exactly. And I think definitely, because I think in any business early on, you are... You know, you're trying to not only get clients, but you're also trying to prove yourself to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can come with an air of desperation. And people can really pick up on that. And I remember one of my clients was a life coach, and she was very transformational to my transformation in business. And yeah, like you can't put off that air of like, I need you to sign with me, mm-hmm. you know, that type of thing, because yeah. people can feel
desperation.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly. So when it started, you know, as I started to become a lot more confident in myself and what I do, and that took longer than it should have, because this has been recently like about a 4-year experience, and I've been doing this for like 16 years,
yeah.
but it's this
same,
it's a weird strive of like, I don't want to think that I know everything, and I definitely don't.
Mm-hmm. I used to trick myself into do it. I would think about, so I would go into these meetings, and I remember one particular meeting that I, like I was going into the meeting, and at the time it was my biggest client. Like at the time I was preparing to close what was actually a 2-location deal, which would have been my top 2 biggest clients at mm-hmm. the time. They're large clients, still clients of mine, incredible people, but it's just kind of, it's relative, you know? So, I remember sitting down and thinking and looking at this guy in my head, you know, like across the table from me. And I remember taking, I was like, let's take it back to like my wheelhouse. And this was still when I was a basketball player. And I knew this guy liked hunting and fishing and traveling and super rich. And I like to do a lot of those things. We had been to a lot of the same places, weirdly enough, hunting and stuff like that. My dad's really into that stuff as well. And it was exciting because I sat there and like visualized myself playing basketball with this guy. This guy's like a 55-year-old white guy that's like, you know, 6-foot-tall, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I am like full killer at basketball. Like I'm in the best shape of my life besides my knee. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like 20 at this time. So my knee is still improving, you know. That was like a 2-year process, really. So my knee is like on the upswing. I'm playing again with a brace. You know, I'm not playing back to back. I'm not lifting back to back days, anything, because I'm still weak. I really built my knee the right way. I don't even play with a brace anymore. So it's really good. But I remember playing basketball with this guy in my head. And I was like, dominate this guy. I was like, he would have the most miserable time of his life, you know? And then I was thinking about hunting. I was like, no way. I was like, I'm as capable or more than him, no matter what, just because of how disciplined this has been a part of my life for so long. Fishing, same way. I've been doing this for so long. So disciplined. I know everything that he knows. So I am fortunate, like that mental trick,
mm-hmm.
plus the fact that I do what I like. Like I actually do what I like, obviously. Very thankful for yes. a place that allows me to do what I like. But I would trick myself. I would put myself in that mind frame. I would like put us on even playing field, even though we're not.
I like that.
You know, you're richer than me. This is your company. You know, you have 100 employees. You're doing hundreds of thousands of dollars a month in credit card processing, millions of dollars a month in volume. It's insane. You know, it's a huge, but I walk into this and I'm just, and I remember sitting in the lobby and literally closing my eyes in the lobby while I was in there by myself going, just dominate these people. Like the same mindset I put myself in basketball, like I'll just dominate.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not taking no prisoners here. And I got in there and I just put my sales hat right on. Like, here's what we can do for you. I'm very confident. And the whole time I'm only thinking about that. Like in everything that I like to do that matters to me in my life right now, we're not even in the same league. So what? There's nothing really that you can take away from me. You know,
yeah.
like the stuff that I've invested 15 years, 16, 17 years of my life into basketball. Can't take that away from me. There's no way. The stuff that I really care about, if I didn't have one single dollar, you couldn't take those things away from me. So there was just not a lot to lose. When I put myself in that mind frame, there was nothing to lose.
Exactly. And that was probably different for him as well, because mm-hmm. people that want his business are probably just trying to, like, you know, they probably mm-hmm. have that air of desperation or feelings of inferiority, and mm-hmm. it probably feels different. I have no doubt it probably felt different for him.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was competing quotes, you know, competing, like, everybody, he wanted a quote from everybody. And I was mm-hmm. like, I don't send quotes. You know, we don't really send quotes. I was like, I need to meet you. I need more information. So I went out there and met him. Yes.
That's awesome.
There's no competing anything after that.
And that's pretty much how I operate now. You know, like, if I have a consultation with someone, it's very much like, hey, here's what I do. And, you know, here's what it costs. Like, there's no, like, anything inside of me that gets, like, afraid of that anymore. Yeah. And, you know,
it's exciting. It's really a big step in your business.
It really is.
Comfortability. You're carving out your own space.
Yeah. And then I'm just like, you know, do you want to do this or not? They'll leave with something, you know. Or if I don't like you, mm-hmm. I don't, like, our personalities don't vibe for whatever reason, I won't work with you anyway. Mm-hmm. So I had somebody ask me that recently. They're like, so how do you work with difficult people? I was like, I don't. No, I've been doing this way too long. Like, the last time I worked with anyone that I did not want to or potentially had any control over was when I was in the gym. Like, that was a big part of getting away from that in the first place, you know? So I'm like, no, I only work with people I enjoy, because we're on the phone, or, you know, for the very few people I still see in person, like, that's time. You don't get mm-hmm. that back. So I want to enjoy that time that I'm spending with that person, and vice versa. So if it's not enjoyable for me, like, I'm not going to do it. So they're like, well, how do you turn down money? Yes, mm-hmm. because all money is not good money, you know? Yeah. And I don't want to be miserable for 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. You can't put it over your own,
exactly.
own peace of mind.
And that's a great place to come from mm-hmm. as well. So there have been people where I'm like, I just don't think that we'll be great together. But, or I refer them out, or I give them some information. I'm like, try that for a bit, you know, and see how that works. And then I've had
maybe
people.
Maybe some exercise.
Yeah.
Some meal plan to change your attitude.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Hello. But it does. Because food is very influential with that.
Sure.
Food and stress. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I don't think most people want to wake up and be, I'm trying to think of a, you know, PG word for it, but disagreeable,
yeah.
yeah. and contentious. But some people do, but I don't think most people want that. And what folks don't realize is how much food does play a part.
Mm-hmm.
Food, stress, and sleep play a huge
part
of that.
I wanted to ask you something about specific. We've had this conversation a couple times. I don't know why we keep having this conversation. I'm looking at Tristan, but we keep talking about gluten here mm-hmm. for some reason. What do you think about, like, a gluten-free diet? We've had some people that talk about kind of the way that that has reduced inflammation from them in a very, very significant way. I was wondering, obviously, that's more of your field of expertise, from an unbiased opinion, what you think about a gluten-free diet.
Well, one thing that is absolutely for sure is that it's hard to find someone at this point who doesn't at least have a gluten sensitivity, due to the way that wheat is being raised and processed and stuff like that. Like, all of us have a gluten sensitivity. The wheat that we're consuming now is not the wheat from 10 years ago, definitely not the wheat from 20 years ago. So it's a completely different thing. So everybody just about has a sensitivity and inflammation. And I fully agree with it. Now, gluten-free, it depends on what you mean by that. Because mm-hmm. sometimes people do gluten-free and they'll run to gluten-free foods, right? So they still want the bread, but they'll do a gluten-free bread. That is where things can get really tricky. Mm-hmm. Because some of those ingredients, like, sometimes people think gluten-free means carb-free. And that is not the case at all. Most of the time, gluten-free breads... gluten-free breads and pastas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not the same,
they're using different starches, because what they're trying to do is give you the
not
best
eating
replica.
Gluten doesn't make you ketogenic.
Correct. And not eating gluten doesn't make you healthy,
mm-hmm.
because a lot of times they have to put in a lot more sugar. You know, the carbs are a lot higher, just to make it so that you want to eat this gluten-free bread. So when I work with people, it is typically mostly gluten. Actually, the way that I coach it is gluten-free, aside from indulgent meals if they want to do a pasta. But the foods that I coach them to eat are inherently gluten-free. And it does have a huge difference.
Stay away from like starches and
stuff. Not starches per se, but it's just I focus more on single ingredient starches. Because I mean, sure. You do have to be realistic, because I'm asking someone, I mean, most of my clients are older, like 45 and up, and I'm asking them to shift, you know, 40 years worth of habits. So I do need to be realistic with that. A lot of folks aren't trying to do a full 180. And definitely if they are willing to do that due to something like an immediate thing that they need to fix, they're not willing to do that long term. And so I'm only coaching them on what they're willing to do long term. So sometimes they want pasta, and that's fine. You're going to have a reaction to it. You know, you'll have the little food belly, or, you know, you'll feel it in your joints, because everybody does at this point. But for the most part, when we talk about starches, we're talking about rice, potato, you know, farro, like a single ingredient starch. What it's called is exactly what it is. And if they do that most of the time, and then occasionally have like pizza, pasta, a dessert or something like that, then it's not that big of a deal. But what happens is, once they're eating in a way that does serve them a lot better, one, they're not having those cravings at the same rate. And two, whenever they do actually indulge, it's not nearly as good as they thought it was.
Right.
And they feel it.
Weighs you down.
Weighs them down. Energy is low. They feel a difference in their mood. And with anybody that has any sort of joint issues, they feel it. They're like, oh 100%. Gosh, I can feel that in my
That's
hands
one
and
of
my
the,
knees.
What I understand about an actual like gluten-free diet is that The joint issues.
The
I'm interested
issues.
In that.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that.
Because it's inflammation.
I'm less of the stomach. I don't really have that much stomach issues at intermittent fast.
Mm-hmm.
So when my those 8 hours, my stomach is like ready.
Yes.
I mean, it is ready to metabolize anything. I'm interested in the joint stuff, though.
The joint stuff is huge.
I'm interested in like as I go play basketball now. Stiffness, you know, joint pain, stuff like that, just from activity.
Yes.
What I'm interested in is seeing the difference when I have the same activity, but nothing to fuel the inflammation.
Exactly. And I mean, that's what Tom Brady did, you know, like everybody likes to give him grief on a lot of different things, but the way that he eats is definitely a huge factor, because you can go definitely, you know, he eats gluten-free, but then he even takes it a step further with the nightshades, because for some people, they do have a sensitivity to nightshades, and that will also show up as inflammation for them. Like there's actually a good number of folks that have issues with things like tomatoes and, you know, things that, and potatoes for some folks. Usually it's a tomato thing, interestingly enough.
Sure.
And, you know, because he pretty much eliminated anything that could cause him inflammation, because it's just crazy for him to be the age that he is and to perform the way that he does, you know? And it really does come down to that, in my opinion.
What do you think about the Whoop Strap?
Whoop Strap has been really interesting.
It has.
So I love it, love it, love it from a sleep perspective, because the time change has been very disrespectful to me.
I'll tell you something that happened to me this week. So I went earlier this week to the tanning bed. So Jay went to Daytona, and Savannah, his girls, had gymnastics meet, comes back all tan. We sit beside each other for the podcast. I'm like, oh, my God. That's not me. You know, I swear, I'm serious. I was like, oh, my God, I'm white. I was sitting here doing this. I was like, I was serious. And so I went to the tanning bed like Monday night. I got sunburned, and not even really bad. Like, there was nowhere to go but sunburned.
Yes.
You know, if I'm keeping it real, there was nowhere to go but sunburned. 1 minute was going to sunburn me. But, so I went and got sunburned. I have slept worse every single night, and I don't even have painful sunburn. Like, when you're in the sun for 6-8 hours and get sunburned, it's a different type of sunburn than the tanning bed.
Gotcha.
Because it's deep, it's deeper exposed over a longer time.
Gotcha.
But when you get tanning bed sunburn, it's like a stinging. Like, it's just a light stinging sunburn. Mm-hmm. It usually heals quicker because it's only, it's not affecting you with heat deeper down into your tissue. You're not affecting those several layers of skin. Like sometimes you get sunburned, but you're tan from the beach. You pull a layer of skin, you still have some tan under there because UV light is penetrating at a deeper level than what is in those tanning beds for the most part. It super exposes your outside layers of your skin for a brief period of time, gets you sunburned. More disturbances, less efficient sleep, less time slip every night, every single night. And I know it's my body adjusting to that sunburn. Yeah. It's both, it's healing and uncomfortable because it's laying on skin, touching skin that's sunburnt. Sometimes you move around and stuff that I'm not conscious of in the middle of the night. And I would never know.
Yeah.
I would never know. I wake up some mornings and I'm like, I'm tired. I go look at my whoop strap and it's like, you slept terrible.
Yes.
Because your sunburn.
And that was kind of what happened this week. Like last night was the first night. Like I feel like a normal person today because I usually I allot the 8 hours. And previously, according to the strap, you know, I was actually getting some really good, deep, restful sleep. But with the time change, the craziness is that I'm going to bed according to the old time, but I'm waking up according to the new time. Don't know how that happened, but like I usually go to bed, like I go to bed like a toddler, like it's like 9:30. And so like I'm staying up till 10:30 because I just literally can't go to sleep. And I'm big into just like supplementation with mushrooms as well. So I do like a reishi powder to help me sleep or and to help with deeper levels of sleep. I don't have issues typically, but I just like the deepness of the sleep I feel with it. And it helps to like reduce stress in your body. So I'm even taking that and I'm still just like, blink, can't go to sleep. And then, but I'm waking up at 5:30 in the morning, which is the old 4:30. And I just felt like garbage. Like I've needed naps and I've just not been on my A game. And then finally, like I've been staying up to just get like the most, you know, become as tired as possible. And I went to bed at, I think it was actually 9:15 or 9:30, woke up at 5:30. And I was like, this feels and Whoop concurred. I was like, thank you.
It lets you
so
know.
So it's really cool. And then the disturbances, like sometimes, because with the past couple of nights, you know, where I said the sleep hasn't been great, it's like 6. And I'm like, when did I do that? You know, but one thing that was really interesting was because I've been waking up according to the old time, because I've been waking up earlier than my alarm, I felt that again this morning. And I'm like, no. Tasha, you're going back to sleep. Yep. And so I was able to do that, but it definitely showed that I was in a lighter sleep.
What do you think about your respiratory rate? Does yours fluctuate?
It makes me angry.
Mine too.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
No way that mine is that sometimes.
Yeah. I'm just like, I disagree.
Yeah. Same.
And that one's really interesting, but like my efficiency can be really cool. Like it can be like 96.
Too.
Yeah.
With 20 disturbances and
oh, wow. Okay. You're disturbed.
Mine's dog.
Usually only like,
dog.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah.
The dog.
Yes, definitely.
But it, and it's stuff that it's moving around and I think that it thinks I'm moving around and the dog's moving around.
Well, we do make micro, like, you know, adjustments. Yeah.
And
so.
This would happen at my disturbance would be like 50% this week, probably.
Oh, wow.
I've probably 30 a night, 25 a night, you know.
But then
I'm somewhere between like 14 and 18 normally.
Disturbances?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the dog. I forget about the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because mine is like 5
I think it's thinking I'm moving around and it's the dog, but it's not. Yeah, and my efficiency could still be 93%, 95%.
Yes. And I like everything it said.
I spend a significant time like deeper in REM sleep than I think. Cause I think like 20% of your sleep cycle is REM sleep. And I spend almost 30%.
Between REM and deep, like last night I spent, it said I was like 48%.
Which is
like,
super.
Yes. I felt it too. I was like,
50%.
Running.
You're going to wake up like, I got to go to the gym today.
And that was exactly it. I was like, I'm ready.
Do you think it tracks? Do you do a lot of cardio?
I've added in more recently.
Do you think it tracks your
calories rate? Heck no.
You
if
think
that's it, what you were about to say, because I saw that today and I was like,
you think it's too low?
I think it's too low.
Do you think it tracks your like cardiovascular activity correctly?
You mean like distance and or
like,
just like heart rate?
Do you know how it does your day strain?
Yes.
Do
no.
Do you think it tracks that correctly?
I disagree with that one, too, because I'm like, excuse me? They're like, oh, that was lightweight. And I'm like, was sprinting like 10 miles per hour. What are you talking about? That was a light strain. I'm like, I was dying.
I'll tell you, something. So, so I disagreed as well. I tracked with another fitness apparatus.
Okay.
My heart rate and my heart rate variability at the same time. I'm tit for tat. Everything is exactly the same.
Okay.
So I don't know where, I don't know if it's setting the expectation for you. That,
yes.
And it depends. I'll tell you another thing that I read about it too. You know how one of the first things it asks you is what level are, do you operate at? So I picked the highest level.
And I picked, I think, right below the highest, and I want to go back and change it, and I can't figure out how to. Because
I think, well, I don't think that's us. That's not us. We're not that high of a level.
That's what I,
when I read online, it was like, Whoop Strap started as like, we'll send 40 to your CrossFit gym. You know, like, we'll send, highest level is like,
monster.
Olympian.
Okay.
You know, the next to highest level is like, your strain is really,
so my ego answered that question, not really me.
Well, yeah. I wanted to see, because you think about it, is if you're already at that level, your body is not burning as many calories to do
very
the same workout.
Very
so it understands what your heart rate is doing and your breath is doing, and says, if you are the athlete you said you were, then you're only straining yourself and getting this much calories.
Yes.
That's what I think it is.
Like, how do I put in a petition?
I think we told Whoop that we're a lot.
I think we told I keep trying to find that to change it. Yeah,
I think
and
we
I
told Whoop
it.
We're a lot more talented than we are.
And then I'm just like, I can't live up to those expectations.
I'll tell you something that's weird, though. I can go hard on the bike for an hour and 13, 14 day strain. I can go hard on, like, I can play basketball for like 2.5 hours nonstop, similar strain.
Yeah, I something has to be rebooted, because I need to go back and figure that out. Because like I said today, because I had a couple of, I did a variety of cardio. So I started off just like walking at a 12% incline, like 3 miles per hour for 10 minutes. Then I did sprints for 10 minutes. Then I walked for 10 minutes, just slow, just to kind of get into the fat burn. It's a very strategic cardio thing. And then did intervals for 10 minutes. Yep. But still, like, this is not light work.
Oh, that's how you burn fat, for sure.
Exactly. Running, so it's like a metabolic cardio
thing. Is, people say, like, walking's the best thing for, like, if you run, you're going to go faster than if you walk. You're going to burn more fat. It's
for
harder
sure.
on your joints.
Yes.
More difficult.
It's still just about, like, the heart rate range. Like, of course, whenever
your body
you're,
adjusts to a rhythm. So,
correct.
Like, you might start running and get your heart rate up to 140, 160, but you're going to find yourself at, like, 100 in a rhythm once you get 10, 12 minutes into your
run. But that's why I also don't do steady state cardio.
Same.
Well, I don't do steady state running, nor do I advise that for folks.
Well, you need to, it's either practice that because that's what you want to do.
Very true. Yes.
Or do what it's good for your health.
Yeah. Which is like the walking, the intervals are great. Mm-hmm. And so
do you
then,
do like Tabata or?
No. I mean, like, my sprints are 30 seconds on, minute and a half off, but the sprints are anywhere, depending on how I feel for the day, they can be anywhere between 8.5, 9 miles per hour to 10 miles per hour, which is just as high as the treadmill goes.
I like Tabata. So a lot of people get in that 4 minutes of Tabata and you don't really get enough cardio activity.
Yeah.
Do four consistent rounds of Tabata. Do 20 seconds on, then the 10 seconds off of four exercises.
Like,
so, and you're going to get 4 minutes out of that.
And I do
then
that with
take
my clients.
Then take 2 minutes and then do four rounds of that. You'll be dead.
Yeah, but then it'll be like, you were at a four.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah, but I know that's
blasphemy.
A lot.
Blasphemy. Yes.
Well, your body's running at a higher rate the whole night. You're engaging things.
Yeah, because anytime I do cardio, like, I'm automatically hungrier the rest of the day.
Sure.
And I do the fasting. So I either just, it's a little miserable
for
a second.
So you lift weights as well?
Oh, definitely.
You do sugar after you lift weights?
No, I do. So typically,
I do.
That's what I train my folks on, though. So I'm like, if you're going to have an indulgent meal, like, definitely do it post-workout within like that 45-minute window.
Yeah.
But
get that sugar in those muscles.
But I don't eat sweets anymore.
Sure.
So that's a little weird. But that would be when I would do like pasta or like, yo, let's go out for Mexican.
I started watching like Matt Fraser and like Rich Froning and all these UFC guys, listening to them. They're like, yeah, I work out and then I eat like a Snickers bar and drink a Coke.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Because your muscles, like, it's not going to have an effect on your body.
No.
not at that time.
Your body, yeah,
your muscles are just like, feed me. So yes.
Well, tell me about your speaking engagements coming up. We want to obviously continue to support you.
Thank you so much.
That way we can link to the new stuff. People can find you.
So this one is with a group. It's like with a sorority, and they are doing a talk on it's a whole symposium, and it's about heart disease as well as breast cancer. So I'm going to be talking about just some of the foods that are great to eat and foods to avoid for heart disease and, you know, breast
cancer. I would love
to
see some of that when you get your presentation done.
Okay, definitely. And what's interesting about it, though, is that because I'll have, you know, I'm working with clients and they're like, oh, my gosh, I just got diagnosed with like prediabetes. Can we function? Can we like, you know, add in, keep that in consideration, too? And I'm just like, quite frankly, like what we're doing, it works for all of it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, do you want to lose weight? Cool. You need to eat like this. Do you want to either, you know, reverse your type 2 diabetes? We might do a little bit something a little differently, just with like the exercise prescription.
Sure.
And just a little hacky type stuff. But like when it gets down to it, it's the same thing. You want to prevent cancer? It's the same thing. You know, so we need to cut back on our starches, full show, increase our healthy fats, you know, get with these proteins. They don't necessarily need to be super lean. And, you know, we got to get your stress levels, because stress is the gateway to everything. Mm. And I think that it's finally being spoken about a little bit more, because you can have, like, I have a predisposition for a lot of fun stuff, you know, depending on which side of the family we're talking about. But, you know, and I tell people that I'm like, you know, you can have unwanted guests trying to come into your house, but you don't have to open up the door. And stress is typically the tipping point that will engage type 2 diabetes, as well as most cancers, even MS. Most people have some things that are dormant, but then stress is the thing that kicks it off and starts it. So, you know, it's like I'm really big on just helping people get through those stressful points, too, because then you eat like garbage, you sleep like garbage, you feel like garbage, and then, you know, garbage comes in.
Sure.
So it's a big part of it. But
well, let us know where we can find the content.
Definitely.
We'll share it.
Okay. Obviously. Thank you. But then, yeah, so it's been cool just having those talks about one of the main ones I do is how to eat for the body you want without giving up everything you enjoy. That's a big talking point one that gets requested, because people want to try and find out how can I balance it, because they don't want to give up the fun, but they also want to and need to be a lot healthier. And so it's just finding that balance. And then again, what the sneaky part that I don't tell people, because I'm almost starting to say, like, I manipulate people into being their best self, because like I know what's happening when you eat healthier fats, when you lower your starches, when you, you know, create that good balance, drink water, stress is less, you're sleeping well. You don't even have those cravings. Like, you don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been 3 years almost of no desserts. I don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. And it's just because, like, I do eat higher fat stuff now. But you don't even think about it, because those cravings are gone, because your body's in balance.
Sure.
When your body's in balance, you're not hungry all the time, because that's another thing that they realize, you know. Intermittent fasting is a lot easier, but not snacking between meals is easier, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just your body being in balance and everything flows well.
Well, if someone needs to get their body in balance, needs it to flow well, how do they find you?
They can find me, definitely website. It is mixkitchenfitness.com, mixkitchenfitness.com, or definitely on Facebook under, you could put in Mix Kitchen Fitness and it'll come up as well.
Cool.
Yay.
I thought about hiring you to remake my voicemail.
Oh my God. You have no idea.
So good.
So I just got serviced out of my car, and like the guys at the shop were like, he's like, I had 3 people listen to your voicemail. So yes, that is a thing.
Well, cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you coming back.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, bye.